Welcome to Current Situations. It's your girl, Noelle, with my beautiful co-host, Renee Reeves. Hi, Renee.
Hi, you guys. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks so much. Well, my special guest today is Jermaine Sane. He is the host and creator of Atlanta's number one talk show, When We Speak. Welcome to Current Situations. Hi, Jermaine.
Hi, Noelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for being here. So, Jermaine, tell me a little about yourself.
Well, like you said, I host a talk show here in Atlanta, but I'm also an Army veteran. I'm originally from Tennessee, and I moved to Atlanta in 2008, where I began the talk show called When We Speak, which basically focuses on entertainment industry professionals. In addition, I sing, and I've had the opportunity to sing with people like Barry Manilow and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Kim. I'm sorry, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Art and R&B singer Kim.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much me in a nutshell, just all-around entertainment guy.
Wow. Well, how did you come up with the idea to host a talk show?
Well, I started the talk show in 2008 when I first moved to Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And when I first moved to Atlanta, I didn't know but one person who was my ex-roommate in the Army. And I wanted to meet people in Atlanta. So
okay.
The idea came to me that if you want to meet people, then talk to them about what they do. And that and people will, you know, gladly meet you. So
yeah,
that's what I decided
open up
to do.
Real quick.
Yeah, so
oh,
I decided
okay.
to do a talk show about, you know, people in the Atlanta music scene. And so this really was the idea behind starting When We Speak.
Wow, so Jermaine, what inspires you to help other people in the entertainment business?
I think I've always been what I call like a person who likes to help or having the gift of help. I've always been instrumental in helping people, you know, do things when they're trying to create something new. And when I first moved to Atlanta, I was singing in a group here, and I used to do most of our promotions online and stuff like that. And when we would go sing at shows, I realized that we didn't have anybody to really promote the shows. We didn't really have anyone to record us while we were doing shows because I was singing, so I couldn't do the video, you know, when I'm singing. So that's really what encouraged me to help somebody, because I realized that there was a lot of people out there who are probably grinding really hard, doing what they
yes.
do, their craft, but they didn't have anyone to really expose it or even people to go and record them. So, like, I would go to people's shows and just record footage of them with no charge, just so they would have footage to put up of themselves online doing shows.
Yes,
so,
that is so
I've just always
necessary.
Enjoyed doing
it's
that.
So important these days. What
yeah.
challenges have you faced being an indie artist?
I think one of the biggest challenges I have faced would probably be just expansion. It's very difficult sometimes with the internet being wonderful because it allows you a platform that you normally, you know, couldn't reach just on your own. But
right.
also the downfall is that because it's such a big platform, it can also be hard to expand because, you know, there's so many people out there watching so many different things. So how do you really stand out among
exactly.
all these people doing talk shows and all these people doing music, you know, stuff like that? So I would say that's probably one of my biggest challenges, trying to figure out how to really publicize myself or how to expose myself to the masses or to my audience that I'm looking for, or the people who would enjoy what I do.
Right, right, your target audience.
Right, exactly.
And Jermaine, you're being very modest, you know, but all week I was so intimidated after I looked up your YouTube channel and everything. I was like, oh my God. I was like, he has interviewed some fascinating people. And I actually saw the interview with Trina Braxton. I saw the interview with Head Crack from Diss Nation. And these were face-to-face televised interviews. And I was like, oh my God. And you know what? You have made me quite comfortable. You have been wonderful the whole process. And so as a talk show host, do you have any advice for me as an up-and-coming talk show host?
Well, you know, first, I would like to say thank you so much for watching. And since you brought it up, I would definitely like to, if I could, say to your audience to definitely check out our YouTube channel, which is When We Speak TV. And then we also have another one, which is When We Speak TV 2, the number 2. Mostly interviews and shows. And then on the other, I do like behind-the-scenes discussions and or personal messages for myself and stuff like that. But, you know, you mentioned like Head Crack and Trina.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, first of all, thank you so much for for checking it out.
Welcome.
I'm flattered. But then I think the advice I would have to you or anybody who's mm-hmm. starting out on a talk show is one time I was watching Oprah, and she stated that she doesn't care if a topic is very popular she doesn't talk about it on her show, you know, when she had her talk show, unless it's something that she's interested in. And when I heard her say that, I kind of took on that philosophy. One of the things I would always say, be true to yourself and true to your audience and true to your real interests and where you're trying to go. Because in entertainment, I do get a lot of people who, you know, reach out to me and want to be interviewed on the show and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And sometimes they don't really fit my audience. And even if I know that that discussion or that person could be very popular, sometimes I still have to choose not to do it because it's just not where I'm taking the show or where I even want the show. And my biggest thing is being staying true to what the show is about. Yeah, and I think so. Authenticity is like the biggest thing you could do with being a talk show host.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That was some great advice.
Thank you.
Yes, and I just have to say I was very inspired by your mission statement. And I just have to quote it for my listeners out there. It really inspired me as an author, as a writer, as a talk show host, and as a person. And this is Jermaine saying mission statement for When We Speak TV is to inspire people to speak their dreams and goals into existence. And I am such a firm believer of what you speak out of your mouth, whether positive or negative, is what you're going to get. So where did that mission statement come from, Jermaine?
Well, that actually is kind of reworded to a degree because it really goes along with my motto, which I actually took from the Bible. And I'm not the person I like to shove Bible down people's throats or anything like that. But, but one of the things I like to say on my show is I like to quote the biblical proverb that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I realized that, you know, that is so, so, so true. So that's really where my mission statement comes from, is that, you know, once you realize that you can speak death or you can speak life into your situation. And, you know, sometimes it's appropriate to speak death into a situation because you need it to die. You need that situation to die. And then there's other times we need to speak life into it, such as your dreams and your goals and realizing that, you know, everything that you want in life, you can actually have it. But first you have to speak it before you can ever believe it or it can ever come true.
I just had an aha moment live on the radio when you said if you want something to die, you know, in your life, you speak to that as well. And that's something that personally I haven't been practicing. I've been practicing speaking good positive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But some things that I need to get rid of.
Right, and close the door on, exactly.
Yeah,
and you know, because some people think that, you know, when you say speak in life or death, they immediately think that you're saying that you could kill yourself with your tongue, which is true. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to also, like we just said, you have to remember that you can also kill something else with your tongue, not just yourself. Some things need to be killed.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, Jermaine saying thank you so much for agreeing to be part of my show. It was amazing interviewing you. So do you have anything else you'd like us to know about you, or how can we get in further contact with you? Do you have a Facebook page? Do you have a blog? Do you have a website?
Definitely.
Okay.
On all social media, we are When We Speak TV, but I really want to my website is whenwespeaktv.com, but I definitely want everybody, if you get a chance, go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I mean, we've been doing so many things. And like you said, we have so many artists and people that we've spoken to over
it's
the years
amazing.
Since 2008. And so if you get a chance, definitely go and subscribe to those YouTube channels, which are When We Speak TV and When We Speak TV 2. That's just the number 2. And that would be such a great help to us while we continue to do our vision and continue to move forward. It would be great to have everybody come along on the When We Speak TV journey.
Yes, and I'm definitely on that journey with you. I have subscribed to your first YouTube channel, and I would definitely subscribe to the number 2. Well, Jermaine,
thank you
so much for being here, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you so much
for having me. Thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, my goodness, he is wonderful. Thanks again.
Yes, next, check him out.
Yes. Next is our Yay or Nay segment with my beautiful, outspoken co-host, Renee Reese. Listeners, call in. We want to know, what's your current situation?
What's your situation? You guys have to excuse me today. I'm a little under the weather. So if I'm sounding a little crackly or whatever, that's what's going on. So
you sound beautiful.
But I'm definitely ready to hear these questions. I want to know what's going on. What's your situation?
And thanks so much, callers and listening, for submitting your questions and your current situations. You make my job so much easier. Now, the first situation comes from Candy from Los Angeles, California. I have been happily married for 6 months. My husband is a hardworking, wonderful Christian man. Our life together is wonderful. After dating for 2 years, we got married, and all while dating, we remained celibate. I always knew that I was more sexually experienced than him, but he has no clue. I thought I could change that situation, but he only likes the missionary position. Even though I try to suggest other positions, how do I tell him I need it rougher and different without bruising his ego? And Renee, how important is sex in a relationship? Wow. Thanks, Candy.
Wow. Well, thanks, Candy,
for
this. Thank you for letting me have an opinion and trusting me and in your decision making, because this is a big thing. I think that sex is a big part of a relationship. You know, congratulations. First of all, let me say congratulations to getting married. And
congratulations.
Going to be celibate for 2 years dating, I know that had to be rough. And I'm pretty sure you kind of, like, expected that that would ensure a proper relationship with your husband and trying to start off on the right path. And a lot of people don't do that these days. So big ups to you and your husband for being able to do that, because I personally don't think I could wait 2 years dating someone without having sex. Now,
getting into the fact
that you're not satisfied, which is a big problem when you wait. That's kind of like the thing that people are scared of. Sounds like you said he's a good man, he's a Christian man, and you're really, really happy in your relationship.
Yes, he did.
But how important is sex? If you guys are out there and you're listening, you want to call in, please do. Don't be shy. Call in. Tell us what you think, because I personally feel this is a very big part of my relationship, and I think everyone else is.
Definitely.
Candy, girl, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here. I think you should really just talk to your husband and tell him that, you know, although you enjoy your sexual life and you're very happy with him, I think that's how you can avoid getting bruising his ego a little bit. Tell him that you're not dissatisfied,
exactly.
Even if you find kind of not all the way telling the truth. But you need something more. That you need this type of different encounters to satisfy you. And I think maybe you should even try to introduce some role playing, you know, maybe if he gets out of his normal character and he's able to play someone else, maybe that would inspire him
to
be a little bit more rougher. Or, you know, I've heard of of couples playing like burglar, you know, kind of coming in. Maybe you're the police officer and he's being arrested, so you can kind of more dictate, you know, a little rougher or more
mix it up a little bit
erotic scenario, and he can maybe get out of his comfort zone and play someone else. So I think that would be a good start. A lot of couples do that, and it opens up having the idea of being with someone else or even being someone else. So you're more comfortable in doing things that you wouldn't normally do or behaving in a different type of way that's not necessarily your character.
Wow, that was great advice.
So, Candy, let us know how that works out. That would be my advice for you. What do you think, Noah? Do you think that role-playing and so on is a good thing for a relationship?
Yes, I do, but I think the number one key would be communication to speak with him. Because basically in any relationship, whether it's sexual, whether it's business, whether it's physical, communication.
Emotional,
communication is always the key. And then what you said are extra perks. Thank you so much, Candy. I hope that helped you.
Good luck, Candy. Good luck. I hope it all works out because that's kind of like the number one scary thing in relationships. Like, if you wait and the sex is whack, like, what do you do? Like,
I know. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine?
I hope it works out. I hope it works out for you, Candy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for writing in.
Thank you so much. Listeners, if you have an opinion, which I know you guys do, come on and call in. Now, the second email, she wants to stay anonymous. She says, Renee, my mother had me at the young age of 15. I never met my biological father. I am now 20 years old, and my mother is 35 years old. Thing is, my mom likes younger guys and always flirts with my guy friends. I recently found out that my mother is sleeping with one of my closest male friends who is 21 years old. And she has not even mentioned it to me at all. My friend that she is having sex with told me, do I confront her? Do you think that she should be having sex with friends of mine? Yay or nay?
Now, this is definitely a nay. Like,
nay.
As a mother, you should not be sleeping with your children's friends or associates or
homeboys.
Yeah, co-workers or any of that. You have to draw the line somewhere. And I don't think that sets a good foundation for you, for the child and mother relationship. Now, her liking younger guys and maybe a 15-year age difference is really not that big of a deal. I don't think that's where the problem lies.
Neither do I.
People date older or younger all the time, and 10, 15 years is on the fence, but it's not nothing extreme or strange about that. I think you should confront your mother. Definitely, you need to speak to your mother and talk to her about, you know, how this makes you feel uncomfortable. And even if she doesn't end this relationship or the situation, that she would appreciate it if this is something that she would not do in the future, that it makes you feel uncomfortable and your relationship with her is the most important relationship.
Exactly.
And you need to talk to her about that. I'm pretty sure as a mom, I don't think she's purposely doing anything to bother you or make you feel uncomfortable, but it's definitely something that you should talk to her about. And maybe she just doesn't understand how it could make you feel uncomfortable. You know, I don't think she would like it if you were dating one of her friends, her coworkers, somebody that she knew. So she should respect you and give you that same authority in her life and show some respect towards y'all relationship. So definitely talk to your mom. You feel me? Let her know what's going on and to keep that away from what you guys have going on.
Exactly.
So, hey, she shouldn't do that. You know, as a friend, even, I don't even date my girlfriends, my friends, my female friends. I don't even date their family members because it causes too many problems. You know,
yes,
you need to respect the relationship that you have with that person. And there's a million people on this earth. So
exactly.
Finding someone to date or be in a relationship, certain relationships should be off. You should not do that. So keep your relationship simple. Don't add the drama. Don't add the inconvenience. If you have girlfriends, or don't date their family members, you know, mothers and daughters, don't date exes and stuff like that. Just keep it 100, basically, and everything will flow.
Yes, and once again, communication is the key. Talk with your mom, sweetie. Yes. This next email is coming from Linda Kay from Lancaster. This is for Renee. I'm a single lady with no children. I have my own house, job, and car. The situation is that I am currently dating 3 men, 2 serious, 1 casual. I am sleeping with 2 of the men and have always protected myself. Safe sex 100%. Somehow, I contracted a sexual disease. I am furious. I've told both sexual partners, and they are both blaming me. What should I do? Ooh, that's a situation right there.
Yeah, that is a serious situation. And this is where dating and being single always has its drawbacks. Because although you seem to be like you took protection as a serious issue,
yes,
you know, there's always nothing is completely guaranteed. The only thing that's completely guaranteed is monogamy and
abstinence. Definitely.
So that is the benefits of being in a monogamous relationship, is that you don't have these issues. Now, as far as them blaming you and you're being honest with what's going on to them, I don't think that that should be the factor. And usually when someone tends to blame you, it's usually them. So let's be clear. As far as, I'm not exactly kind of sure, Noelle, what her question is. Like, what is the question?
She's just furious, and she's upset because they're both blaming her. So I don't know if...
Well, I would be furious, too. I would be completely furious, but you have to take some responsibility in the situation. I'm sorry to tell you, girlfriend, and you seem like you have all your stuff together. Like you said,
she does.
You're single. You have your own car, your own career, your own everything, and you seem like you're a serious person about yourself and your lifestyle. But you also got to remember, in dating and having sex with multiple people at the same time, it increases your chance for catching an STD. And you have to be completely responsible for that, in the fact that you're a part of the whole situation. More than likely, they're probably having sex with other people as well, but so are you. So you have to take some responsibility, and I think you should, you know, somewhat apologize to these men and say, you know, I understand that you're upset. I'm furious too. Yes, we're not in a relationship. I'm dating you and I am having sex with other people, but so are you. But I'm bringing this to your attention. I'm making you aware of it. It's something that we need to resolve. And if you are serious with one of these 3 men, I think that you should look into maybe furthering your relationship, because that is the benefit of being in a monogamous relationship. That is the main benefit, you know, so you don't have to worry about it. And if you have feelings towards one of these men or your series, I think you should look into making this something permanent. And maybe this might be the wake-up call that you or them or one of them needs to push it along, to push it further. But I feel bad for you, girl. Like, that's horrible. Once again, we always say, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up all of the time, 100% of the time, until you're sure that you're in a monogamous relationship.
Right, and this is just evident that, you know, you could practice safe sex all you want to, but sometimes mistakes do happen. So
right.
practice
and
safe
it's not sex. It's not 100% safe. The only safety that you have is being in, you know, abstinence or being in a completely monogamous relationship with somebody that is STD free. So it's kind of just life, girl. You know, I know you want to kick yourself in the butt and kick them in the butt, but it's just something that you're just going to have to take with a grain of salt and figure out what it is that you want to do. But it has to be one or the other. If you're going to be single and you're going to be dating, then you shouldn't be having sex with multiple people. If you want to be in a monogamous relationship and have sex, then that's fine. Or just practice abstinence while you're single. So then that way you can be with 3, 4, 5 different men and enjoy their company, but you're not exposing yourself to these type of
sexual transmitted diseases. Well, so I hope that that answers your question, Linda Kay. God bless, sweetheart. This next question, Renee, comes from Kenya from San Francisco. Hi, Renee. My current situation is my best friend of 6 years, she's a bully. Every time we go out, she gets drunk and flirts with everyone's man, starts fights, and then thinks that's fun. We are both 32 years old, and although she starts and picks the fights, I always have her back to the fullest, physical and all. Fast forward, now I'm making enemies. One of the ladies she beat up at the club is now pressing charges against both of us. I got served at work yesterday. My best friend is a hothead and is not taking this seriously at all. What should I do? Oh, Mike, we all have that one friend, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. We all have or had that one friend, or we might be that friend. Look at yourself, listeners out there. Are you that friend that gets drunk and wants to bully people and start fights and basically
drama.
Acts crazy and then expects your friend or your entourage to jump in and
have your back,
help out the situation. Now, here you are facing charges. Like, that's extreme. And
criminal charges.
30-something years old, no one wants those type of problems.
Like, no, they don't.
No one wants to deal with that and the possibility of going to jail or restitution or restraining orders, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to be known around your city as a bully or a hothead or some type of gangster thug girl. You know what I mean? You're like 30-something years old. Nobody wants to deal with that. You
That's
need
not a
to
good
address
look,
your
sweetheart.
Friend and tell her that she needs to take this seriously, or you might just have to stop hanging out with her in those type of scenarios. You know, you might have to have a girls' night at home where it's just
See,
Renee,
that's
of
what
you
I was thinking too. Yeah.
Until she can realize that she has a problem. And at the end of the day, that's her problem, not your problem. So I'm not saying that you need to end the friendship, but control it a little. Put yourself in the position where you're only dealing with her on a one-on-one basis and you're not including any outsiders, which doesn't give her the opportunity to so-called, like, turn up on people. So, no, I would totally avoid that, girl. That is a mess, a hot mess. And
yes, and please hire a lawyer. Do not use one of their public defenders.
Definitely. I always advise everyone
of advice.
In my personal life, my friendships, you know, your freedom is not something that you want to put into the hand of someone that doesn't really care. Go ahead, take the couple of $1,000 and invest in a lawyer. You take this seriously. You represent yourself to the fullest. I'm pretty sure with proper representation, you're not going to be looking at anything serious. And just rectify the situation with your friend and let her know, hey, I love you, girl, but I can't be out here. You know, this is not reality TV. There's consequences for going out and turning up and acting a fool on people. And let's be clear, you could end up getting hurt.
Yes.
And we really don't want that to happen. You know, you don't always win them. sometimes you lose them. And sometimes when you're a bully, you tend to lose more often than you win. So,
and she's making enemies along the way.
Right, and you never know when these people, you could be out with another friend that's not on that same type of level, and these people try to get revenge on you, and you're just kind of like clueless, and then you're also putting other people in danger that go with you places. So, nay, cut that down to a bare minimum. Talk to your girlfriend, let her know the business, and that you cannot and will not put yourself in these type of positions.
Exactly. So I hope that that helps, Amanda. Our next call, well, actually, email came from Loretta D., and she's from
Loretta.
Chicago. Hi, Loretta from Chicago. Hi, Loretta. It says, Renee, my boyfriend gets mad when other men like my posts and photos on Facebook. Do you know why? He really gets in his feelings about it. Then he accuses me of having a double life with these men. I tell him it's nothing, but he still chooses to act out. I tell him if I wanted these men, I wouldn't be with him. He says the women in his past gave him trust issues. How can I change his way or thinking? Or is he a lost cause? I really love him, and I have never even thought of cheating, but his jealous ways are hurting our growth process. Help, please.
This is a toughie. Loretta. Jealousy and insecurity is not your issue to fix. I'm pretty sure you're a beautiful woman, and of course men are going to like your posts, and of course men are going to like your pictures and so forth. It's social media. His jealousy is something that you need to talk to him about again, Noelle, with the communication. And try talking to him when it's not an issue. You know, a lot of times we wait to talk about things when they're brought up by the other person. Take a moment when it's not an issue and pull him to the side and say, you know, hey, babe, I want to talk to you about how you feel about my social media. Do you want me to delete this? You know, does it make you that uncomfortable that you want me to delete my social media or take a break from it for a while just to kind of show you that I am being honest? Offer to let him look at your DMs, you know. Let him see that you're not involving yourself with these men and that his jealousy is making you feel unhappy, that he would even think that you would cheat on him when that's not the relationship that you have.
Well, you're right. I definitely say to talk to him. And to me, if social media was really getting in the middle of my relationship, I would just get rid of my social media. That's me. I go to the extremes, I know. But if we're constantly arguing over it, it's not even worth it. So hopefully
eliminate the problem for a while. I'm not saying, you know, maybe forever, but just taking just the willingness to take a break from it would show, you know, that you take your relationship as a priority over anything, including social media. Let's be clear. I don't think social media is that important.
Thank you.
That it's worth ruining a good, solid relationship over. Let it go. Let him look at your DMs. If you're not doing anything, it shouldn't be a problem. Give him your code. You know, sometimes as in a relationship, we just kind of want to see that, being that we have trust issues from a previous relationship, that it's not a problem. And then usually once the other person sees that it's not a problem, it's not what they thought, they get over it and you move on. You keep your social media. He's happy. He knows that you're not doing anything, and everybody's happy. So talk to him. Find out what he wants to do. Make your relationship a priority, and I think he'll get over it.
Yeah, and I think it's also a deeper issue within himself, within the social media itself. Like she did mention, he does have prior trust issues from prior relationships. And that's kind of hard to deal with, being in a new relationship and your new boyfriend is always comparing you to the ex-girl that broke his heart. So now he has trust issues when it comes to you. I don't know.
I think if we always base our new relationships off our old relationships, you're going to have a problem, because at the end of the day, no matter how wonderful this person was and how they fulfilled your expectations and they were made the best omelets ever, it didn't work out. So that's not really a comparison. You can't compare.
Right.
When you don't, you can't compete when you don't compare. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But so let those old situations go, and they didn't work out for a reason. You're dealing with a new person. You're dealing with new issues, new habits, new ways of thinking, and let it be that. Base your new relationship off what the new person does and not your old relationship.
So I hope that answers your question.
I hope so. Thanks for writing in.
Oh, this came in anonymous. She says, I am a white female who married an African-American man 6 months ago. We met and fell in love and married in the military while we both were serving our country. Over the Christmas holidays, I met his mother, and she had no idea that her son was even married. To quote my new mother-in-law, she says, oh, hell no. Not only are you married, but to a white. I was in tears. My jaw dropped. After that, they have been accepting of our relationship. My thing is, should I feel a certain type of way of him not telling his mother about me?
This is always a touchy subject for me. Let me just make it clear that I am a biracial woman. My mother is Caucasian and my father is of African American descent or black. So that makes me, I think, kind of like a resident expert on the whole biracial, interracial relationship thing, okay?
Yes.
As far as you being upset or feeling a certain type of way because his mother didn't automatically accept you, that was going to happen. And obviously he knew that it was an issue. I mean, this is his mother, and I'm pretty sure she raised him, and her beliefs were instilled in him. So he knew this was going to be an issue for her, and that's why he was intimidated of telling her.
Yeah.
So don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. You and your husband have a relationship of your own, and her opinion, the mother, is really not valid. He married you, and obviously he doesn't have a problem with it. And over time, she will get over it. Once she sees that, you know, you're down for her son and how close and loving relationship that she has, and that's all she really wants for her son, I'm pretty sure, she'll get over it. But initially, for any black woman, it's a little difficult, I believe, personally, to see your son marrying someone of the opposite race. We kind of, as mothers, imagine that when our sons get married, being that I'm a mother, that I kind of think that he's going to marry somebody like me, you know? And that's just kind of like what we think. So it just catches us off guard as a mother when our child steps outside of the race issue. And she's probably concerned about what type of relationship that you'll have as a daughter-in-law and bonding and so on and so forth. So just let her know what you have to offer, you know, like be you, be true to yourself, you know, don't put on a front. Let it just happen over time, and I'm pretty sure it will.
That was some great advice, Renee. And if I can just, when you mentioned that you were biracial, I thought of a poem that I had written, and it's just a couple of words, a poetic situation that I had. And I just want your comments on this poem since we're talking about biracial. I'm a mixed chick in a black and white world. My daddy black, my mama a white girl. Society tries to label me as other. I, too, am a woman of color. So, Renee, my question to you is, with you being biracial, and could you tell us what you're mixed with? One more time.
Oh, my mom is of Caucasian descent, which is actually, she's actually French, Indian, Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm.
So in society, you would consider that, you know, Caucasian, she's of light skin with green eyes and like
beautiful
a blondish
woman.
Color hair. So she's Caucasian, and my father is of African American descent. He's black. He's actually pretty dark-skinned, a dark-skinned black man. So it's like growing up, it was either complete opposite, either completely, you know, Caucasian or black as far as being of dark-skinned nature. So I think the whole biracial issue is an issue in America, and as a I consider myself a black woman because when I'm out and about and growing up in school and
mm-hmm.
dealing with the world in general, America looks at me as a black woman. You know, Caucasian people look at me as a black woman. I've never really had the situation. You know, my situation is my situation, and it's different, and I realize that I can't speak for all of biracial people. I'm only speaking for myself. That's
right.
It. And it was a very difficult situation because I had one part of my family, which was my mom's family, that didn't claim me at all and didn't want anything to do with me and consistently reminding me the reason was because I was black. So I never had got this, I don't know if you would call it this pass, this so-called thing that that black people like to call a pass. I never really experienced that, and I don't know what that means. So I always consider myself a black woman. My mother always told me that's what
okay.
I was. There was no such thing as being mixed. Oh, I'm mixed. I'm half black. I'm half
okay.
white. I was always just taught that the world looks at me as a black woman, and that's what I am. So it's a very difficult situation because black women and other people want to kind of question your blackness.
Mm-hmm.
And
your
so
realness,
and so forth.
Your blackness, exactly.
Right.
You know, I've been
so
your best
it's
friend
a very difficult
for over 25
thing,
years.
And I think that when you're dealing with interracial relationships, you should,
mm-hmm.
if you plan on having children, you should really consider the struggle that you're putting your child through by bringing them into a world where everything is so black and white still in 2017, and that's just the way that it is.
And I still see racism even between us black women as a unity between the brown-skinned woman, the mocha woman, the chocolate woman, you know, some black girls don't get along with light-skinned girls. And it's just this whole racism that we all have within ourselves. And that is just a shame in today's society. And I saw this meme today on Facebook, and it said something to the point like, you all dark-skinned it, but you acting like you light-skinned it. What does that mean? Do they think that because you're light-skinned it, that you're prettier? Because you're light-skinned it, you get more privilege? And to me,
it always has been like that. I noticed that, you know, I grew up in a predominantly all-black neighborhood growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the ghetto. I didn't grow up in the suburbs around Caucasian people. As a matter of fact, I didn't see a white or a Caucasian baby until I was like 13 years old, and I just was completely in shock. You know, even though I knew I was different and my mom was
mm-hmm.
Caucasian, but it was just the norm for me. I didn't grow up in that type of society, and I make it clear all the time that I support the movement of Team Black Girl No Shade, because at the
yeah.
end of the day, we're all black women. We all experience the same problems. We all experience the same struggle, and knocking each other down consistently is only hurting ourselves. When we attack another woman who has the same struggles and
yes.
the same problems, and we're raising the same children, you're only attacking yourself. So there's, to me, there should be no team light skin, team dark skin, team brown skin. We're all black women, and regardless of the shade, we should support each other. Quit
and we're all beautiful.
No shade. Team black girl, no shade. So that doesn't mean whatever color you are, from the lightest to the darkest of the darkest, we're all sisters. So I think we should promote that movement and let go of all this light skin, brown skin, dark skin thing. Because at the end of the day, you know, like I say all the time, just because you light skin, it don't make you cute. And just because you dark skin, it don't make you to fight. So at the end of the day, we all sisters. Quit it. Knock it off. Knock it off.
Yes. Knock it off. And callers, listeners, I would love to hear from you. Now, this
give them a number, Noelle. Let us. I really wish you guys would start calling in. We would love to hear from you. Let
yes,
us know
definitely.
What your situation on BBS Radio. Join us. Interact with us. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. Let us know what you think. If you don't agree, call in. Let us know. Let us know what you. I'm really interested in the whole dark skin, light skin. Skin controversy. If you have an opinion, write in, call in, let us know. What's the number, Noelle?
It's on my Facebook page. I should have had it handy. I'm so sorry. Next time I will have it for you guys. I have one current situation that just came in that I don't know that much about, but it's dealing with actress Jennifer Lewis, who plays on the hit show Black-ish. Well, apparently, according to TMZ, she is suing her boyfriend of 3 months for $50,000 that she gave him in order to start a sound engineering business. Well, he turned out to be a fraud. Now, do you think that Jennifer, being a woman over 60, I thought she would have known better? I guess that's what her situation is. But just to let you know, this just came in anonymously just now. I did see some of that, Renee, and this guy, he was real elaborate in fooling her. It wasn't just like someone she met and just knew for like 3 months. Well, she did meet him on social media, on Facebook, and this guy, he had a really elaborate scheme, Renee. He, like, followed her on all her social media pages. I say that he was stalking her, basically. He watched all her interviews to see, you know, what she liked. But you know what he really did? Girl, he even had some fake Oscars made and sat up on his mantle. And he said that he had won those for being the sound engineer for Jurassic Park and other big office hits. That was just an elaborate scheme. So many men these days are really trying to come after women for their money, their status, and their users. We really have to watch out for people like that these days. And be careful, people, with all you put on social media. What do you think about that, Renee?
I think she got finessed. Like, I think she got
right.
finessed. This man targeted her. He knew how to get to her to get her to open up her purse strings. And you said she's 60 years old?
Well, she's over 60 years old. Yes, she is.
Okay. Girlfriend, you got finessed, okay? And basically, I would say you chop it up, because inside of a relationship, whether you give your boyfriend $60 or $60,000, mm-hmm. you know, that was on you. You never give someone, anyone, more than you can afford to lose. So inside of a relationship, if you call yourself investing in someone's dream, there's a possibility mm-hmm. that it might not work out. So basically, you gave this man money to help him and to pursue his dreams. And if it didn't work out, you were willing to take that loss. So take your loss. Take your L and mm-hmm. move forward and learn from your experiences. I noticed this in today's society. A lot of men are using women. Women have come to the point where we're much more independent. Black
yeah.
women have the most college education. I read
yeah.
a survey saying that they are the most educated women in today's society. So we're no longer the ones in need. We're the ones in the power of position. We're educated. We have our own homes. We have our own
yes.
cars. We have our own careers.
We have
so
our
you
own
have
businesses.
A group of men that, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, are less entitled, and they're seeking women to prey on. Don't be that woman, whether it's as small as your tax returns, you know, in today's society, and brothers is, well, give me your tax returns and I'm going to flip it. Okay. Realize that there's a chance that you could take a loss whenever you give someone money. So you treat that accordingly. You
exactly.
wouldn't give someone homeless more than what you could afford. When you people ask you for change on the street and you give them $5, $10, you don't look for anything in return. You don't know whether you're going to see this person again. You mm-hmm. do it out of the kindness of your heart and you move forward. And we need to do that inside of a relationship. If you give your spouse money or you give them money, let it go. Mm-hmm. You gave it to them. Now, whether they win or lose, hey, that's the chance that you're taking. You look salty, like, get over it. Take your L, move forward, uh-huh. and don't give men money in the future. Like,
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And listeners, callers, I want to know what you guys think. I have that number for you. It's area code 888-627-6008. I would love to hear from you on any situations, any topics that we covered today. You have 2 more minutes to call in. I would love to hear from you. Once again, that number is area code 888-627-6008.
What's your situation? Call in, listeners. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
I'm interested in what you guys have to say and what your situation.
I have one more email that just came in, and she wants to know, Renee, if a guy proposed to you without a wedding ring, would you be insulted? Yay or nay? Wow. Would you be insulted, Renee?
I would be. I would be. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that I'm expecting some 10-carat rock or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that you can go to Walmart and have some type of ring to propose to me, I would be insulted. Yeah, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to be insulted because the fact that you couldn't bring forth an action to match your words.
Right.
I would seriously doubt being in a relationship with you because no matter what you say, you need to be able to back it up. And I think that's what the ring is designed for. It's not about the money. It's not about the cut and the clarity. It's about having something physical to back up your words. And the fact that he couldn't take $50, $60 and get mm-hmm. even a cubic zirconia to propose to you, it kind of shows what he thinks of you. So insulted? Yeah, definitely.
I agree. And to me, it doesn't seem like he took any type of time or consideration or even thought the occasion was special. It just shows, like you said, what's to come, right?
Right, and it goes to show what he thinks of or how he values you. From what I heard, that Nick Cannon proposed mm-hmm. to Mariah Carey with a ring pop. Okay, these people have millions and millions of dollars. It was, I believe it was just to show and to say he still brought her something to show that the money, it's not about the money. I'm proposing to you with candy. You know,
yeah.
And I think that kind of thing.
I thought that was
our
cute, too. I did. I
it's
thought that
about,
was cute, Nick.
Right. I mean, well, their relationship didn't work out, but that's not the point.
Right.
The point is, if a man values you, he would have took the time and the effort to bring you something to physical to show that he's going to match his words with his actions. Bring the receipts. Back it up. So you're
oh,
going to go around and tell
that.
Your family that you got engaged with no ring? That's whack. No. Whack.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you guys once again for tuning in to Current Situations on BBS Radio.
Thanks,
I like
you
to
guys.
Say a special shout out to Jermaine Sane. Check him out on We Speak TV. And holla at your girls. Thank you, Renee, so much for being
Thank
my co-host
Noelle.
Today.
Everyone have a blessed week. Join us again on BBS Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And keep those comments coming in. Thanks for
Thank
listening.
Thank you so much.